season 11, episode 11. May the best woman win.
11-11, make a 11. Wish. Is that a thing?
It's an angel number.
Oh, it is?
No, I don't know. Oh. I don't know anything about
none of my wishes come numerology. True, so who cares?
Oh, well.
Except for this. Except for talking about
Vanderpump.
Yeah.
On this beautiful Wednesday, you're welcome. This episode is chock full of Joe, and I love it. Talk about someone who doesn't get her wish.
Yeah. I do love a hot cup of Joe.
Ooh, I love it too. I'm sad that she gets hurt. I want her around for more things. But a lot happens in this episode too, which we can't say for a lot of Vanderpump Rules episodes, but this episode,
it's been picked up. The last couple, mm-hmm. I've been hard on it, and the last couple have been,
yeah, as you should be,
rewarding.
Yeah. So we start with a to be continued, which again, it's like, okay, we ended with the end of a fight at the beach, and now we're back at the end of the fight at the beach.
It's not really I mean, it's just the next episode, right? They're all to be continued as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a fight just ended, and it has kind of wound down, and we're back wounded.
Could you just tack that on the last episode?
No. I mean, really, the first thing that happens is Schwartz is like, okay, after this fight, we're taking Sandoval somewhere else. And Ariana's like, great, thank you. So they're leaving the beach, and Sandoval asks Schwartz, was Ariana getting emotional? It's like, fuck you. Yes. Yes, she was. She was getting emotional. You fucking piece of
shit.
But
that's the show.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Well, getting emotional is the show.
But not, yeah, exactly. And she's doing her job, and you are acting as if you give a fuck. And you don't, but sure. The Toms go to the waterfront in Venice. I've never been there. And Schwartz says, you got to get out of the house. Yes. Yes, they do. And I've never been to this bar. It seems like a fake bar. I was like, is this real? I don't understand. Is this like a strange installation? They bitch about what's Ariana's, what's Tom's. In Tom's talking head, he talks about the batteries and the pens and the paper towels again. And the producer, that was my mic stand. I'm getting so animated about this. The producer interjects his talking head and is like, you know, you got fucking roasted for talking about the batteries and pens last season. Why do you want to talk about that again? And he says something that really just goes to show how delusional he is. He's like, when Ariana moves on her own, she's going to be in for a cruel surprise, an awakening. It's like, that's all you got?
Penless, batteryless.
Wow. That's why you have to bring it up again, because you want Ariana to know that, like, she, at some point, is going to have to buy her own toilet paper and pens?
I think there is, for regular humans, there is something to being like, you know, when one person does things and then the stuff is just there.
Yeah.
I get that in like a very kind, but not in a way where I'm like weaponizing it.
But also it's like talking about George Floyd in a New Yorker interview. It's like, dude, you know, like.
Also, how many batteries? I mean, isn't everything plugged in?
Like, you really... I don't know how many batteries people use these days. I don't use that many. But he's saying this thing that is, and again, it's not nearly as tone deaf as George Floyd, obviously. But he's saying something where it's like nobody is thinking about, like nobody is cares about you or your situation, and you're trying to make it again about yourself and your struggles. And the only thing you can scrounge together is this one fucking limp dicked argument about fucking pens and batteries. You fucking deluded piece of shit. Okay. The producer even stopped you to say, wait, you know that you got a lot of heat for saying this before.
That was a moment where I think you could have been like, and I'd say it's easier said than done, but it's not. It's mm-mm. a human thing to be like, pens and batteries is just a metaphor mm-hmm. for what I'm saying. It's
yeah.
it's the pens and batteries and the nuance of what people do for each other in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's just like, no, she's going to be a penless, batteryless
yeah,
woman.
No. I don't think there's a lot of nuance. Sandoval's not smart. I don't think he thinks about it that way. And I think he's just trying to, you know, just maintain his own arguments over and over and over. And they're just becoming like more and more like lame and just pathetic. And he's just a sad sack who's trying to argue about batteries. And it's gross. Sheena then talks about not having the best matchmaking record, how she set Schwartz up with Tori, though, and that might be good. Sheena's former nanny, we've seen her in the beginning of this series, we don't really see – there's a whole scene at Hotel Ziggy, the cursed Hotel Ziggy, where they're flirting or something. And we don't even see that, which is interesting. I was like, I think I want to see that. But then she also kind of is attracted to Katie. And so now we've got this thing, which is – you know what? Good for them for creating a great storyline that seems somewhat compelling.
Or is Tori like, how do I double my pleasure – and make myself interesting. I know this is a cynic in me, and I'm sure there's a valid thing. She's probably could be attracted to both of them at the same time, but is it kind of like, if I'm attracted to both of them, that's twice the
FaceTime. Yeah. Also, they're both like fairly attractive. It's not like it's not leaps weird. And bounds to be like,
it's not a,
yeah, I'll make out with both of these. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. You know, I'm 24, you know? Yeah, absolutely. So I think Tori wants that screen time. You can kind of see with like the way she interacts with both Schwartz and Katie, if I'm being honest, because when we're getting ahead of ourselves, when she kisses Katie, I'm like, oh, Katie seems into this. And then like Tori just seems like she's like, all right, we'll make out with you. I don't care. You know, it's very, she's 24 and likes to be on TV. No
hey,
shame
listen,
there.
Yeah.
No shame there. So Tori is coming to the next bar, and apparently they all go to this fake bar. So it's not like the Toms are going somewhere else to be away from the group. It's like they're just beating them there so that they can all just be at the same place again to do the same thing again, which is create conflict. Oh, it's almost like this is a TV show where people watch for entertainment.
Conspiracy.
Interesting. Tom Sandoval's taking fucking water shots, which I'm like, shut the I don't care. Like, who is this for? And then Katie calls Schwartz to say that he left his stuff at the beach. Schwartz assumes Katie will bring it. Schwartz looks horrible. Schwartz, this episode, is the way that I think Schwartz has always been, but we're just seeing it more. He's just such a, and I'm getting, we'll talk about this at different points of this episode. I get PTSD, like, experiencing Schwartz's behavior because I've been Joe. Been Schwartz. We've all been kind of the different spectrums of these like poorly behaved, immature people.
I've been hippie.
You've been hippie.
I've been hippie.
Oh, have you been Graham though?
Once upon a time, I was Graham.
Once upon a time, he was a Graham. So Katie's like, your stuff's here. And Schwartz's like, oh, thanks for grabbing it. She's like, I'm not grabbing it. It's here. Bye.
She's the most real, like, she's just very matter-of-fact, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, she doesn't give a fuck anymore. She's been, like, picking up his slack for years and years, and now she's – and I get it, because I have that impulse, too, where it's like, oh, sure, I'll bring it. It's like, no, you fucking left with this shitty, you know, guy. Come back and grab your beach towel. So the rest of the crew heads to the waterfront bar. They talk to these girls who look like they're 20. Tom's toasts. We saw a toast before about like being STD free. Was that toast? being positive and testing negative.
Yeah.
Oh God! And he has another one. I think it's to Venice soda laughter, a continued happily ever after. I'm like, who wrote these? You need a writer for these toasts. These are horrible.
TJ
you look
Maxx.
Like a piece of shit.
TJ Maxx.
Wrote exactly. A driftwood. A piece of driftwood. Tori comes up to Tom Schwartz, and it's weird. She's got such a weird – she feels pissed at Schwartz. Like, she's like, you're talking to these girls? Like, she has such a Katie – like a throwback Katie vibe of, like, being annoyed at Schwartz. And Schwartz is like, oh, it's my girlfriend. Just kidding. And she's like, what? And they talk about, like, what she drinks. And she's like, champagne. It's so weird. It's like a mini Katie. He's like, this is my ex-wife. And she's like, what? And he's joking poorly. And she's pissed for some reason. And it's like, oh, my God. We're seeing Katie and Schwartz all over again in this, like, tiny micro scene. Anyway, they just start drinking champagne. We miss the whole Hotel Ziggy scene with Tori kind of establishing their relationship, which is kind of, I think, part of the jarring thing about, like, Tori and Schwartz talking in this scene. And then Tori's like, are you going to ask me out on a date? Which, again, I'm getting PTSD where it's like, yeah, this guy's attracted to you. He's not really into it. He, like, invites you to this thing, or the production invites you to the thing. And you're, like, you want someone to treat you a certain way, and you kind of have to, like, strong-arm him. And he's like, isn't this a date? And then, yeah, he buys them a bottle of champagne.
He acts like he's never been – this is the first time on Earth. I don't know.
I can't. But I love that Katie comes over. She basically says, Schwartz, get the fuck out of here. Steals Tori away. It is great. It's great. Bye. Bye, Schwartz. Leave the champagne. Thank you. Back in this outdoor games area, Sheena and Lala are talking to Ariana about letting go. It's really boring. Sandoval's an asshole. But things get a little bit more interesting with Tori and Katie. Katie says that she has not dated a woman, but she has had sex with one. And in this moment, when Tori is asking her this, Katie says, mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't say, yes, I've had sex with a woman. She just goes, mm-hmm. I'm like, are you lying? Have you not had – are you lying to the camera about having sex with a woman because this is your storyline and you don't want to be, like, a poser? I don't know. I don't want to, like –
getting called a poser has got to be one of the worst insults there is.
I know. I just – I had – I don't think it's true, but I had, like, a little, like – a little inclination. I had like a little doubt in my mind that she was maybe not telling the truth, but whatever. Then they make out and like she's into it. Tori's not really into it and it's fine. Okay.
What's the story, Tori?
What's the story, Tori? The next day, Lala meets up with a trucker hat, Joe, at a hot dog stand, which is very appropriate.
Tail of the Pup.
Tail of the Pup. Have you been there?
I have. This is... nobody cares about this backstory, but it's historically was you see it in a lot of movies. It was it was near the Beverly Center at one point, and it's been gone for a while. But a company like you know the, it's got the original outside or whatever. A lot of the original parts now it's on. I think it's on it's on Santa Monica. I went went like twice
in West Hollywood, right?
West Hollywood, yeah, and it's good. Another little point tip. About it, you're not going to care about this. That was the location where the Doors recorded, maybe L.A. Woman. Mm. So the Doors, the band, the Doors.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know everyone here. You know what I mean? I'm very young. Yeah. I barely know who they are. I'm barely in my 60s, but I love locations and stuff like that. So it's just a little bit. Just because the show will be like, you know, Laurel Canyon. Now we're in Valley Village, so you're getting thrown around a lot.
You really are
trying to give a little context, but it's a pretty cool history.
Yeah, I mean, it looks fun. I mean, I like fries, so I was like, interesting.
Oh, they're French fried though. Oh, is that going to bother you?
That will bother me. But Joe has never looked more dressed up than this moment where she's in her signature trucker hat. She's in like flood cargo pants and a tube top. And Lala actually looks great in the scene. But they sit down and Joe thanks Lala for coming and says that Schwartz said that they should talk because Lala's like the in into his friend group. And I was like, bitch, you are not his girlfriend. You're not his girlfriend. Every beat of Joe in this episode is like her desperately wanting to be his girlfriend and him being like, huh, Joseph. Joe's talking head, which is also incredibly casual considering how dressed up everyone is.
Lala looks like she's always like interviewing an assistant.
Yeah, in like Y2K America.
Power.
You know, she's like, yeah, she's in Blade Runner interviewing for her assistant. Lala grills her though. She says, "How could you have not known about Tom and Raquel?" And
that's a fair, very
yeah,
fair point.
No, and again, mostly I disagree with Lala. In this episode, a couple times I have agreed with her. I admit it. And she says, and this is also in the talking head. Joe was like, I was focused on Schwartz. I didn't pay any mind. I thought they were broken up. And it's like, bitch, you are lying. You are lying. Yeah. You knew.
There might
you're
be
lying.
A little bit of willful ignorance, like a tiny bit, but there's no way you haven't had a conversation and be like, hey, you know, when you're after, you know, you're hanging, you guys
yeah.
hung out
oh,
all the time,
seeing
you
them,
live together.
You're all getting fucked. You're having shots.
Yeah.
Also, Joe has a beer at this thing, at this midday, like hot dog date. It's like you're getting drunk with these people who are fucking.
Even if you didn't witness it, you wouldn't once be like, Tom, what is going on with these two over here? One time you've never ever done that? Come
on. No. I mean, there's a lot of willful ignorance going on with her too, clearly, as evidenced by her relationship with Schwartz.
Or not ignorance at all. I'm giving her the benefit of that, saying there might be some willful ignorance, but to be like, I was focused on blah, blah, and that doesn't, no.
No, you're a
that's not how conversations
bad
work.
Liar, and nobody, and you are getting skewered, and a lot of it is for good reason.
Yeah.
Some of it is not, but a lot of it is, and this is good reason. Lala says, so you don't want to be in a relationship with him, referring to Schwartz. And she's like, oh, you know, we just went through so much. I was, you know, comforting him when he broke up with Katie. She says, me and T-Money. And I was like, are you a boomer, T-Money?
I think she might be AI too, though. I'm very accused. I think there's a lot of AI in the show. I think she might have
AI?
Once been a regular person, but then they went AI, and they had somebody my age going, T-Money? Yeah, put that in there. Put that in the algorithm.
She's Joseph, and he's T-Money. Look for the double pupils on the AI. look into her eyes. Just see. And then Lala's like, oh, that's what you'll say when you send out your wedding invitations. And Lala, of course, is joking, and no, in no universe does Lala think these two people will ever be together.
She's basically talking at her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she was like looking side to side and she didn't want to have a conversation.
No, no. But then, of course, Joe is like, ha, 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 ha. Like, Joe wants all of any hypothesizing about her relationship with Sandoval, of course. More boringly, Ariana, Katie, James, and Allie are at the driving range. Again, I don't really care until they talk about Tori. And Katie's like, I don't give a fuck. I'll fuck whoever I want, which I'm like, I love this, Katie. Obviously, this is great. But she is not being honest with herself. And we learn that later in the episode. James, though, very funny talking head where he says, everyone is acting like this is normal. And he breaks down the Katie and Tom, you know, dating, getting married, dating the same girl. And he's like, this is not normal. And I was like, yes. And when James is calling out shit that's not normal, it's really not normal. Ariana talks about wanting her own little treehouse. She's ready to move, whatever. I do like, though, that she makes reference to Tom Sandoval in this scene having his own professional paintball gear, which we see later. And it is truly, I mean, there's been a lot of embarrassing things on this episode already. Tom's paintball gear is the most embarrassing.
It's like a motocross kind of like.
It's like Power Ranger motocross, like fucking anime cosplay, red and black. And the funniest thing, too, is that he gets out first. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you fucking bitch.
Paintball. I went paintballing once in Canada during the winter.
Yeah.
What kind of party is it for the groom for the getting married?
Oh, like a bachelor party?
Yeah, part of a bachelor party, yeah. And these Canadians were wild.
They were shooting. Yeah. They were shooting
it
and running.
It hurts when you get hit with one.
What's the pain level? What are we talking?
I'd say 420.
420 pain level?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't know anything about that. So, wow. The rest of the scene, again, kind of boring. Lala goes to the cryobank to meet with Dr. Brian Hyde. Also boring. We do learn that Lala's having a sperm donor party, which could be cool. I mean, sure.
You know, for some of it's kind of like, you know, you want to have content, right?
Yeah.
You want to have it. But also, when she said, it's like, hey, you know, I want people to be involved in my, and I was like, I also get that. It's not a terrible, it's not a forced reason, but it is kind of like, what are we getting here?
Yeah. Which again, I mean, Lala's storylines have been painfully bad. Sobriety and sperm donation are not fun. It's not like an active, it's like when Ariana talks about emails. We do not care. We want to see Sheena tracking Katie as she fucks Max Boyens. That's what we want. You should know that by now. This is season 11, people. But I, you know, sure. Let's have a sperm donor party. Maybe we'll get some conflict out of that. Also, Lala. And again, this is, leave it to Lala to make getting a sperm donor seem like the most privileged. She's like, I don't want there to be a dad because I want full control over this baby. Which I'm like, I get it. You know, like, you don't want this horrible person that you were engaged to, who you have a kid with, to be in control. You don't want that to happen again. But I'm also like, you don't, the reason you get a sperm donor is not to have full domination. You know, it's just like, it's not, it's, it reads so weird when she explains it like that.
But we're the very first person to ever be a single parent. We're watching it happen.
That's
on
television.
It's never happened before.
Revolutionary.
And you know, unfortunately, you know, the other person involves a millionaire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like we've never had a single parent, especially not one attached to a millionaire. Now we're just learning as a culture and a society.
Yeah, truly.
How hard it must – and it is hard.
It's very hard.
Everything's hard. Everything's complicated. But like, I don't know.
She's traumatized. I'm sure she's traumatized from all of this.
But like, I don't know. Like, I'm my mother had six kids.
Jesus.
Right? She was somewhere, like, there was no millionaires involved. I wish.
Look
I wish.
How you
I
turned
wish.
Out.
What? Yeah. Look how horrible I turned out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have a Vanderpump podcast.
Yeah. So.
But I just, I don't like the way that she talks about this because I just feel for Ocean. I'm like, oh, what about your kid that you have with Randall Emmett, who does have a father and has like this other family unit as part of her life? Like, are you going to privilege these other kids that you have, like, total, like, nobody's going to mess with their, like, what? It's like, I don't know. I just feel really bad for Ocean. And it's just like, I don't know. It hits like wrong to me how she talks about it. Anyway, Tom goes to Hair Boss, where Joe works. The Hair Boss. I think this is a Valley establishment. I don't know. Is Joe a Hair Boss? Not really. Not in my opinion. Joe's hair always looks like shit, which is troubling to me.
Are they extensions? It's like
they're
very
like
long.
Ratty,
or is it just, it's like surfer hair?
I mean, she surfs with the sharks, baby. So I don't, but I'm like, girl, you're on TV. You're a hairdresser on TV. Like, you could really blow, like, this could help you. Instead of giving you the most heat out of any ancillary Vanderpump character for a long time, I would say, this could help your business.
Because all of them are having somebody do their hair probably in a lot of these
things,
right?
Oh, they're all fucking have glam.
Right, yeah, like, right.
Girl, you got to get glam. You are glam. So you got to even be glammier. And I get it. Listen, I'm from Wisconsin as well. Like, she's like, probably was like a hottish girl in Wisconsin. You know, she's like, pick me, boys, girl. I totally relate to that, unfortunately, where it's like, you know, you're like fucking doing your thing in Wisconsin. You come to LA and it's like, you know, now you're 40 in LA, you know, and now you're on a reality show.
I don't want to think about
that. I know. It's hard to think about. But it's like totally relatable to me. And it's, you're on a fucking reality show and you're a hairdresser on a reality show. How about you take off the trucker hat, get like a nice blowout, like get like a nice, your hair's, I mean, I think it's nice. You just have to like style it correctly. And I'm telling you, as someone who is in a, I feel like I'm in like a prisoner's outfit. I'm in like full sweatpants right now, you know, like, help yourself, Joe. Help yourself. Anyway, talk about hair. Schwartz tells Joe that he went on a date with Tori as she's bleaching his hair.
Yeah, I was like, why would you?
Because he wants to push Fred. Because I know this move, too. I know all his fucking moves because they've been done on me and I've been whatever.
I've never done them, so I don't know.
You've never, exactly. This hits a deep trauma for me.
I've never used the truth to be, you know what I mean, to be like obtuse, or, you know, whereas like, I'm technically, Your Honor,
jury, sure.
I never said this. I've only said that my actions may have given you a different impression, but on paper,
I'm a Boy Scout. Yeah. And he's like, I wanted a date. And she obviously is devastated. Like, she's like going for his roots. Yeah. Well, she's just like bleaching his roots. And she's like, tell me more about this date. And she's like, how come I'm getting – she's like, how about these girls? How about your friends? Do they really, like, go at this girl? How come I'm the only one getting heat, you know? And she's obviously very upset, you know. And he's like, I don't know. He says that –
what don't you know? It's – look at the timeline. You were you guys were shacking up right – I mean, who knows when, but right at a divorce. Why would – some random new person way after the fact get more heat than you. That
no,
wouldn't make any
you
sense.
You were part of the problem. Like, Ariana specifically said you were at her Thanksgiving during – like, you are – will constantly and forever on the show be conflated with Scandoval. You just will be. You're
she's
not –
part of the conflation nation, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, she's Madam Conflation. Yeah. And
we're just giving out merch ideas.
Exactly. Feel free to not steal them unless you want to cease and desist. He says that Katie's gone on a date with Tori today, and we cut to that date, and I'm thinking as Tori and Katie are painting at Katie's apartment, I was like, this is for fully lit, least sexy date. You guys are both horrible painters. Part of me was like, does Tori even like these 40-year-olds that she's dating? I'm just like, girl, you're 24, you're dating these two 40-year-old divorcees, like, you can be getting more screened. Have them take you out. Like, don't go to Katie's apartment. Like, go out. Get some free drinks in the production. Like, this is how you're spending your fucking precious airtime with these aging, embittered ex-couple? All right, fine. She has also, like, again, Gen Z doesn't know who Bob Ross is, which, again, really aged everyone around her.
Did they even have video cameras back then?
I know. Schwartz continues to tell Joe that he's going to a singles mixer tonight, and Joe invites herself, which Schwartz, you can tell, just does not like. He doesn't want her to be there. I'm getting so PTSD where Joe's like, oh, we're buddies. I'm dyeing your hair. Just check out your hair. Take it out in the town, whatever. I'll go to a singles night. I'm a cool. Fuck yeah. I'm going to fucking go get my beers and my shots with my best friend that I love so fucking much. Let's see. Let's see what happens. That night, the girls have a girls' night at the Foxfire Lounge.
Which I know I've been to.
I've been there many. It's probably my favorite, one of my favorite bars in LA.
I probably went at your behest, I'm sure. Maybe. 'Cause I know I've been there.
Yeah.
It's a Magnolia or something. I don't know.
It's like, yeah, it was in the movie Magnolia. I think it was isn't it a Paul Thomas Anderson?
I think kind so, of a, yeah. I was like, God, location. I know I've been to this fucking
It's so
place
great and it's so weird that they're I was so jarred that they were there. Because I'm like, the people, okay, this bar opens at 6 a.m. People in there are mostly like alcoholic 60-year-olds. Like,
it's hardcore.
Dive. Yeah. It's wood paneled, whatever. So to see these women who are looking like they're fucking dressed to the nines. They're like full glam and makeup. They're like walking to this like dive bar, which is never full. The fullest I've seen it is when I was there on Valentine's Day with my friend Doug. And we were just like everyone's just like drinking shots silently at the bar, not talking to each other. Just like everyone had like a row of shots in front of them, and you would just sip your shot until the next song on the fucking jukebox came on. Then maybe when you're out of shots, you'd ask for more shots. That was Valentine's Day 2017, 2018. Yeah, baby. A little too old for that, huh? Anyway, they're there. They're having non-alcoholic beers. I can't imagine anyone is not staring at them, these fucking women in the cameras. It's very odd. Ariana asks about Katie's date, and she goes, oh, yeah. Katie's being very coy, and Katie says, he can have Joe. There's no competition there, like, which is true. You know, if there's something to not be jealous of Schwartz about, it's everything, but also the fact that he's sleeping with Joe on the side and she's a fucking nut. Like, this must make Katie feel very good about her romantic going.
She's winning in this department.
Yeah, she's crushing pussy. And Joe... and Schwartz, you know, it's like she's fucking dating a 24-year-old. She's fucking fucked Max, who has like a giant dick, according to like other Vanderpump media outlets. Mm-hmm. And Schwartz has Joe, trucker hat, Joe. Then we cut to speed dating. Joe, Sandoval, and Schwartz are at the event, and Sandoval's new assistant, Craig, is there. Should we get him on the pod? Or
what's interesting about him is like, you really hired somebody that could be a cool friend, right?
Yeah, that's you're just paying for friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's what that is because, I mean, he might be very, very qualified, maybe a very chill dude, but, like, you wanted an assistant that can also double as friend.
Yeah, and your assistant should probably not – it's probably pretty appropriate to have – inappropriate, I mean, to have an assistant at a speed dating event with you. So, like – yeah, the lines are constantly being blurred. Anna's out. And again, we don't ever see her get fired, which is very strange considering what a giant role she's played on this show thus far. It's very
you got to listen to
weird.
We signed an NDA to find out more from her.
Yeah, that's right. Schwartz tells Sandoval that he went on a date with Tori, and Joe immediately pipes up, she's weird. It's like, Joe, you are in a dark, dark place right now. Even Sandoval thinks that the Joe and Schwartz situation is weird. In his talking head, he says, this is so strange. Schwartz is giving her mixed signals. I don't know what's happening. When Sandoval's confused about the nature of things, you're like, you got to get out. Back at Foxfire, Lala said she had lunch with Joe at a hot dog stand. It's always funny. They keep referencing. They don't say Tale of the Puff. They say, I had lunch at a hot dog stand.
Well, it's also downplaying it a little bit, you know?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. It's a stand. It's not a sit-down restaurant. It's not a buffet.
Yeah.
It's a...
But it is. They have a there's two levels of tables, to let you know.
Hmm.
There's an upstairs and a downstairs.
Oh.
So it's not like... And it's not cheap. So
yeah.
You call it a hot dog stand, it's
no.
It's a little more elevated.
Like elevated diner food, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like a $75 hot dog. I'm just kidding.
I don't know what money is. I'm intrigued. So Katie gets pissed that Lala and Joe hung out. So it's like, oh, Lala hung out with Joe, and now Katie, you don't care? Remember when you didn't give a fuck? You didn't give a fuck. You're like, I don't give a fuck. I do what I want. I fuck who I want. But then when Lala has a hot dog with Joe, all of a sudden it's like, are you my friend or her friend? It's like, Katie.
It does seem kind of like an out of...
You're a hypocrite.
Out of, like, a connection that seems like really almost... so out there, it's like, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
I get Katie in that respect because it is like kind of like, what is this matchup for? Like, why?
Yeah, I mean, it is, but it's like Lala's at work. Part of her work is to have scenes with these people. Yeah. Allie did a read with Joe.
Allie's untouchable, though. She really
true.
Is. I really feel like she's completely bulletproof.
I feel like they all sense that she's maybe smarter.
They're like, why are we going to not? Because she'll just walk. I mean, I feel like she would just be like, no. Yeah. I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a reasonable human being. I'm not going to go out of my – I'm not going to, like, not, you know, which is good. And she, I think she really solidified it. And she's, like we said, in real life.
Very cool.
Super cool.
Very cool. But Katie's a hypocrite in this moment. I agree with Lala. I was like, you don't remember, you didn't give a fuck? Guess you do. At the singles event, the host comes over to their little table and the host is like, everyone is single here? And Schwartz is like, yes. Just like Joe's, yep. They all get these green wristbands because green means go. You're very single. Let's do this. Joe, oh God, she's like, I'm single too. She's like 15 years too late to be like a pick me girl. It's very, it's so cringy. Schwartz is flirting with this woman and then he gives this woman her hat. Joe behind him pops up very concerned. And she's like, you don't have another one of those hats. It's like, Joe.
Do you have the hat? Oh, she has the blowdown on the hat stock.
Oh my God.
And Schwartz is like, oh no, I have crates of them.
Yeah. He's like, I actually have a ton in my storage unit full of hats. He's like, oh, don't worry. I've cornered the market on these trucker hats, Joe. Thank you for your concern. Schwartz kisses the woman, and he's like kind of uncomfortable with it. And Joe's always popping up behind his shoulder. Joe's like, what's she doing? Like, she's always like, what are you doing? You don't have more of those hats. And she sees this, and she's like, oh, I'm going to get out of here. I'm leaving. And then Schwartz, finally, it has hit a breaking point. He's smart enough to know that he's led this woman on and, like, has been a fucking hypocrite about his relationship with her. But it's come to a fever pitch. In his talking head, he says, my impression is why we were here. In Joe's talking head, she says, my impression is why we were here was to support Tom Sandoval.
I mean, there is a little bit of that.
No, don't. I mean.
On paper.
On paper. It's all on paper.
I know.
Schwartz has invited literally everyone in the universe to this speed dating event, this singles event. He invited his ex-wife to it. This is not, you know, like, we've been setting up the scene about him doing this singles thing for three episodes now. It's not just for Tom Sandoval. You're a fucking idiot, and Schwartz sucks. Schwartz, in his talking head, says, I'm starting to wonder if she's a little deeper in it than I am. Yeah, no shit, dude. Like, you're a liar, you're a bad actor, you're finally... whatever. But then in Joe's talking head, she's like, the truth is we're still hooking up. We've said I love you to each other, which I love.
I mean, we can say, oh, Joe, you're a freaking idiot and stuff like that. And sure, like, you know, you're getting what you pay for a little bit. But also it's like, yeah, we know that he's not really telling you to, you know.
No,
take
exactly.
A hike every single day because she probably wouldn't be there. Why is she still there?
We've only seen her at his apartment. You know, like, she lives at his apartment pretty much. And I do still think, and maybe this is like my own, just like, I wasted so much time with shitty guys like Schwartz. So this is really a therapy session for me, I guess. But I'm just like, you know, Joe, you know this is not going to turn into anything. You knew that from the very beginning. You know the way he's treating you is not right. Like, you're 40. I think she's around 40.
There's a conspiracy theory, something I read in the Vanderpump Reddit, is that perhaps... in his divorce with Katie, he wanted the comfort of a wife type character.
Yeah,
and when that kind of ran out, he's like, "Well, what I really want is to like bang 25-year-olds." Mm-hmm. But we'll never know. We'll never know if that's actually true.
Ah, yes, that's so unique. It's such unique behavior for like a man child who's been in a relationship for far too long to just latch on to the first woman who shows him attention, makes him her wife, makes her his wife, and stays there until he gets bored and just kind of wanders away. Sorry, Joe, but again, I do think you're smarter than this. The group finally goes paintballing, and James immediately calls out Schwartz for his blonde hair because he has a lot of grays. She's like, oh, you're covering your grays. You've been like on this slow process of like getting darker and darker hair because you've had so many grays. Very funny.
Which is like, you know, that's what you do. But also it's like you got to be really aware that you're on TV, like got to be more subtle with that.
Yeah. And I honestly have had, I think Schwartz has good hair. I think it's maybe the one good thing about Schwartz. Mm. So I'm like, your hair is always look good to me.
Yeah. It's not falling out. So
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. It's like a nice little like flop. Yeah. I don't know. It's good. So like, sure. I mean, even the blonde, I think I like the blonde mod look when he's wearing all black. I don't like it when it's like with
his face
else.
Looks so jaundiced sometimes. You know, he's a very like, you know, probably
sickly looking man.
Probably from the, you know, I don't know, lifestyle. From the
drugs and alcohol? Yeah, you don't say.
Yeah, I don't
Hard
know.
Living? Well, no, he's juicing now, so hopefully he'll get right. some of that color back.
He does a shot of a carrot injection.
Yeah. Laser tag is fairly boring. Sandoval immediately gets hit and is out, which is great, and his stupid fucking
You said laser tag.
Oh, sorry. Sheena. I'm Sheena right now. Sheena's very pissed to be there. Sheena thinks it's like a
Yeah, she's indoor. Like, there's no VIP bathroom? I was like, what are you doing there?
What's going on here? Sheena didn't like that this was outside, but they're playing, they're paintballing. And again, who gives a fuck? Lala talks about grabbing a hot dog again, and Katie was upset about it, blah, blah, blah. Then we get to Schwartz's studio, which of course has Joe in it. Joe is a ghost in his studio. Joe haunts his studio. She exists there. Now, I don't want to talk too much about B-roll because I talk a ton about it pretty much every recap, but I have to talk about Tom's B-roll in his house, which is very thought out. So one shot of B-roll in the studio is a bracelet that says, Joe, my gosh, next to a post-it, I think written by Schwartz, maybe it was Joe, kind of women's handwriting, but again, I don't know for sure, that says, you make me happy and that's hard to do. It's like, you fucking asshole. Schwartz, you are such a fucking asshole. Fuck you. Joe, what is going on here? What are you doing with your life? There's a Wisconsin magnet in the second shot of B-roll on the fridge, just going to show Joe's from Wisconsin. She's made a life there in the studio apartment with Tom Schwartz. Again. And then Joe is using a bird whistle with Butters, which is like, shut the fuck up, fine. You know, Schwartz gets right into a serious conversation saying,
but he's half laughing throughout the whole, I mean, he can't tell. He's always smiling. I know it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just a tick or something like that. Or he just doesn't really care.
He doesn't care. I mean, he's used Joe for what he needed her for. Yeah. And now he's ready to get her out or just keep doing this without her kind of being bothered by it.
Yeah.
You know, he's annoyed. I would say the most emotion comes from her being like, I can't hang out with you anymore. And he's like, oh, what? Okay. But he's
we didn't forgot to put pepperoni on the pizza.
Yeah. He's like, okay, if we got to do that, then I'm going to miss you.
That's
but
what you want to do. Yeah. Right? That whole thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so fucking manipulative.
You wanted this. You
said
this.
I hate Schwartz. He's so fucking evil. He's worse than every other character because he purports to be a good guy, and he's not. He's worse. He's manipulative. I think Jax is a better person because at least Jax, you know what you get with Jax, you know? But Schwartz is like, oh, no, I've made it very clear. And then it's like, no, you are fucking have been cohabitating with this woman, telling her that you love her. And you take her to a speed dating event and you make out with someone in front. It's like, you don't even have enough respect to lie to this woman, really.
Thank you. Lie more to women. Thank you. That's what I've been saying.
Yeah. So Schwartz gets right back into it. He says, I want a girlfriend. I'm dating other people. I have been. I am. And she, and again, Joe's heart is breaking. She says, are you embarrassed by me? He says, no. He's like, well, you've been saying behind closed doors that we're dating. And to her credit, she's like,
I've been saying open doors, too.
Yeah.
You've been like, yeah, we are.
Yeah, exactly. Schwartz, again, kind of upset. And she just has to take her vast collection of trucker hats and get the fuck out. That's what she's got to do.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't. It's probably uncomfortable. I'm sure he isn't like, oh, good, I'm glad you're hurt. But he's also kind of like, I just don't like this uncomfortability.
Yeah, he's like, I just want to move on with my day.
Yeah.
Like, I want to finish my juice and, like, go, like, text weird people. You know, like, I want to get drunk. You know, like, and if you're not a part of that, if you're an inconvenience, I know a lot of selfish people where it's like, if your wants are in alignment with them, great. It's so fun. It's fucking amazing. But when you're not, it's like, oh, you're inconvenient to me. So like, oh, I guess just like keep. Can you be done with this talk? Can we be done with this talk now so I can like go on to my own selfish life? Anyway, they do. Although not before God, Joe's like, us together would be disgustingly ugly and old and like she was like, if we were together, we'd grow old together. We'd have so much fun. Don't you agree? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, I have feelings for you. And he's like, I do too. But he doesn't want to be with you and not the feelings that you're talking about.
He's like, no, I'm going to date something that won't get old. I can do that. I can just keep dating 25-year-olds.
Like, I don't have to date anyone.
Yeah.
I don't have to be bothered by someone else's wants and needs. Because up until now, I haven't really been bothered by yours. And now that I am, I don't like it. I don't want it. And then Joe, goddamn. Really, the last part of this episode is her being like, I love Schwartz. I want him to be happy. And he he says
what you really mean is you want him to be happy with you.
Yeah, that's hurt. What we're saying. You're hurt because you thought this would turn into something else. It never does, but you thought it would. That's okay. She leaves and he's like, go cuddle with Butters. And she does. She leaves the room that they're talking in and he's like, Joseph, like weakly calling after her as if he's going to feel guilty that he didn't do that. Even though he doesn't leave the couch.
Says what would you like to tell me? He's like, oh, no, I just wanted to kind of say your name because it makes me feel a little bit better.
I don't want you to feel bad, Bubba, Joseph. You know, it's like, all right, you fucking dark piece of shit. Anyway, it ends in an interesting note, I would say. Not to be continued.
No.
In fact,
that should be continued.
I want to see more of this.
Please continue that.
Yeah, please do that. But again, a jam-packed episode of good things.
Yeah,
intriguing
things. What makes it even better is if you like subscribe wherever you're listening and rate or review wherever you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah,
like,
Joe really would like that.
She
would enjoy that.
If you ever wonder what it's like to like see people that were really kind of heavily into the improv and sketch comedy scene. Mm-hmm. That's Joe, the way Joe, and he's being on camera, but it's just that very kind of on, every face.
Whoa.
Move.
Yes, whoa. Like,
Well,
T-Money.
Listen, everyone's somebody's T-Money and everyone else is someone's Joseph.
Joseph. This one's for you, too.